The word of God from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians reads, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God is gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. You ever notice how bad things have a tendency of spreading? Things that are unwanted, we don't want to spread, can spread like wildfire. For example, rumors, lies, misinformation just seems to take off and spread. In fact, someone once said many years ago that falsehood has a way of traveling halfway around the world before truth ever gets its tennis shoes tied and put on. Panic tends to spread. We worried about that. FDR's, one of his most famous sound bites has to do with that. Remember that FDR said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And then another thing that tends to spread are disease. And that's probably a good time of year to remind you of this. Diseases spread during this cold and flu season. And just as a public service announcement, which will be used later in the lesson, diseases tend to be spread through the air, coughing and sneezing. So thank you for using a tissue, or if you don't have one, thank you for coughing into your middle of your arm. All right? They tend to be spread through doorknobs. You know, the germs are left on the doorknobs. I guess, according to Lysol people, they can stay there for 24 hours. They would want us to know that and buy some Lysol. So thank you if you have been sick for not touching the doorknobs with your bare hands. And then the third thing is through direct contact. It's being around people, being in their space. So if you have that issues, if you have the doorknob issues and that direct contact, wash your hands. And they say that use soap and water and sing happy birthday slowly. Twice to get those hands nice and clean. So anyway, you can also spread them through being around people. So thank you, those of you that are watching from at home and are being kind enough to not spread your germs. We love you, but we don't love your germs, just like you love us and you don't love my germs. Now, having said all that, things spread. But I want you to know that there are good things that spread. Might need this later. Good things spread, like enthusiasm. That spreads. In the workplace, for example, do you know that besides skills and other things that employers might look for, as far as attitude, probably at the top, employers look for enthusiasm. And the reason why they look for that is because they know that their applicants who become employees will provide good customer service if they're enthusiastic. They will resolve interpersonal conflict effectively if they're always enthusiastic. And they tend to work productively with others if they're enthusiastic. Now, we're carrying this idea of spreading because in the Bible, the Scripture tells us of some things that spread. One of those is the fame of Jesus. And you can look with me just briefly. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. When Jesus went to his own territory, first he went to Nazareth, and then he went to Capernaum. And it was a pretty hard time in Nazareth, his hometown. But in all of this dealings, the Bible says in verse 14 that the fame of him spread throughout the region. And then if you look down in verse 37, it says again, his fame was spread throughout the region. No doubt Jesus became widely known before internet, before postal service, before media, before anything like that. The word of mouth about Jesus spread because he was so effective as a teacher to those of his audience that did not know him. All they knew is what they heard. The Bible says that he spoke with great authority. And no doubt as he healed and helped those that were sick and lame and those that had demons, his fame spread abroad. Now, also we read about Jesus and his good disciples, I say his disciples, spreading the word of God. There, if you turn to the book of Acts, we see four places that talk about the spread of the word of God. And we won't give the context for each of those because we're going to move on. But just to notice, the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Those priests would have been priests under the Old Testament law, and they heard and they obeyed the gospel of Christ. We read in Acts chapter 8, and reading through verses 1 through 8, we see that there was a great spread of the word of God, and it happened because of something else that was going on. There was a catalyst involved. It's a catalyst that you and I probably would not really want today if we were given the choice, but it's a catalyst that made the difference for that first century church in this region. Saul was consenting to his death. He was known as Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. He was now Saul of Tarsus. He was a man that kept the old law. He was scrupulous in that. He was fervent in it. And he thought that Jesus of Nazareth was a heretic, and all of his followers were of the way that needed to be put down. So when Stephen comes along, and Stephen is speaking to the elders, the Jewish elders, and teaching them about Christ, and of course they did not want to hear it, they persecuted him, that's why it says Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Great conflict. I wonder if you and I were facing that kind of persecution, how we would respond. If we were under the pain of death, would we be faithful just as Revelation 2 and verse 10 instructs us to be, our Lord telling us in that passage? I wonder if when we were scattered, we did what the first century Christians did. Because verse 4 says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere. And folks, it does not say they were holed up. It doesn't say they were shell-shocked because of the persecution. It doesn't say they were complaining about the persecution of Stephen and warning each other, you better keep your mouth shut because it could happen to you. The scripture says they went everywhere preaching the word. We find that there were a great many healed when Philip went down and when he preached and when he healed them. And there was great joy in that city. So the word of God spread, despite persecution. And maybe we ought to think about it really hard and say, maybe the word of God spread because of persecution. That's not the mindset that you and I are used to. We're used to reacting and covering up and not causing problems and getting along and making sure we don't violate political correctness or that we don't hurt anyone's feelings. And these folks dealt with death for standing up for Jesus. That's why the word of God spread. In fact, Acts chapter 12 in verse 4, the word of God continued to spread and flourish. And then in Acts chapter 19 in verse 20, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and it grew in power. And so the result of the word of God spreading was seen in individual Christians' lives. One of those places is the text that we read and just at the beginning of the lesson, which was 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, leading up to verse 8. Paul tells the Thessalonians that we delivered the word of God to you, and you received it, and you spread it. In fact, verse 8, he says, "From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not to say anything." Paul says that you're such great evangelists. Evangelism means spreading the good news. You're such good newsers that they know about it, Macedonia. They know about it in Achaia. They know about it in every place. Would Paul say that about us here in Elmore County, Montgomery County, Watauga County, I forgot the other counties, in this region, would he say that about us? Would he say the word of the Lord is known in Wetumpka, Prattville? It's known throughout Montgomery. It's known in every place. That would even include Mexico, the good work out there, Las Vegas, and those other works that have been supported by this congregation. What if the Apostle Paul were able to say about us, if we were in that setting, that everybody around you knows the gospel of Christ because you make sure that the word gets out? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And that we wouldn't even have to, Paul wouldn't even have to say anything because it's already been said. How wonderful that would be that the word of God spreads. But on an individual level, we also see some other results of the word of God spreading. And if you turn with me to the book of Philippians, you will see Paul in his life making a difference on the people around him. So we'll look in Philippians chapter 1, and let's look in verse 13 and verse 14. When Paul talked about the things that happened to him happened to the furtherance of the gospel, then in verse 13 he says, "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Something is going to spread here. "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear." Now, a thought question before we get to it in greater detail, is the way that you're living your life giving confidence to somebody around you who had been timid about being a Christian, who had been timid about speaking up? Are you living in such a way, not only for your own sake and trying to be bold, and trying to be confident, but are you living in such a way that you are affecting a coworker, a family member, somebody that's a Christian, that's been struggling, that's been sitting there being lukewarm for way too long, trying to protect themselves, trying to not go outside their comfort zone, if we use modern day words, and you have influenced that person to speak up. Wouldn't that be a great thing if you did? And that would be being a contagious Christian. So we want to talk about that. Let's apply this just a little bit. Question, are you a contagious Christian? Professor Jonah Berger, he's with the Wharton Business School at the University of Pennsylvania. He put out this video and he says there's several things that are involved in order for someone to share and something to go viral. You know what I mean? But something goes viral, it sounds medical. I'm not talking about getting sick. I'm talking about spreading, not germs, spreading the word over the internet. You know, there are a lot of silly things that go viral. You know what I mean? It's on the internet. You know why they go viral? Because you and I click on it. That's why. We see that and it looks silly and go, oh, that looks silly. And instead of moving on, you know, or getting up or going to work or doing something constructive, we go, that's silly, click. And a million other people go, that's silly, click, and it goes viral. So anyway, he came up with several reasons why something goes viral. And I looked at it hard and I tried to find a way to present it. I think it all boils down to one thing that he said. It's this: we care, we share. That's what makes something go viral. It makes us feel a certain way when even a click of the mouse, we go, that's interesting, may make us giggle, or it may be something really important that we pass along, some kind of warning about a, you know, bug or do this or terrible things will happen. We care, so we'll share it. All right, let's take away the mouse clicker screen thing and talk about our lives. We will become contagious Christians when we care enough to speak up and share the message of Jesus Christ. We will become contagious when people look at our lives. There's something about it that's different. And people say, I want that. Please don't think that I'm in any way, shape, or form talking about selling the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What we have to do is make sure that we don't cause any distractions, that we don't get in the way of it. And when we let our light shine, when we think about it, when we care about other people, those distractions are going to go away. A contagious Christian, in a word, is different. People see a difference. They'll see a worldview that is different. A worldview means view of the world. A contagious Christian no longer views himself or herself by his or her achievements. Well, in 19 such and such, I became manager of this. In 19 such and such, I did that. And that's how you define your life. Well, Christians who have the right view themselves servants of Christ. When you look at the book of James, you could have seen a man that could have said, I'm the Lord's brother. There's a man who could have said, I am the brother of Jude. But instead, James chapter 1 and verse 1 says, James, a servant of Jesus Christ. And if you were manager, if you were this, if you were that, all that's nice. But what's going to make the difference for God and for Christ is when you see yourself as Christ's servant. A contagious Christian is different in that they realize that life is not all about me. You know, there's 7 billion plus people in the world. The majority of them, if we believe the words of Jesus when he said that straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life and few there be that find it, That means of that 7 billion people in the world, most of them are lost. And as you even choke on those words, how can you even let your ego ever back into first place? If you are blessed enough to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have responsibility. A contagious Christian is one who realizes that his or her life was meant to glorify God, not self. A contagious Christian is one who understands the burden, the horror of disobedience to God. It's not something you blow off. It's not something you, oh, well, not a big deal. I just pray about it. I'm a good person, by the way. You know, one day God will weigh out the good and the bad, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of good. No. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is where we find the pronouncement, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Three chapters later, verse 23, Paul tells us how serious that falling short of God's glory is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Understanding the burden of disobedience. A contagious Christian is someone who understands and experiences the grace of God. How long has it been since you've pondered humbly the words of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8? And it's meant not to tell us, oh, don't obey. That's not what it says. Don't follow his commandments. It's not what it says. It's saying how great God is and how much we need him. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. It's all about God. At work, I had a long conversation with a coworker. And the coworker, this particular coworker, tends to work in a quiet area. Interaction is typically very businesslike, kind of abrupt, get it done, need this, need that. Started listening the other day and found out as I listened to this person how he felt about his work. And he said, you know, if I do a good job, if I help a family going through a difficult time by what I'm able to do, he said, that's not me, that's God. He said, now if I do a poor job, that's on me. And his words, I thought, echoed true, because I've thought them too. God gets all of the credit, but never gets blame. And if you will look at it that way in your life, every good and perfect gift is from above. And when we fall short, that's not God's fault. That's on us. What that means is the focus becomes on him. A contagious Christian is one whose life is centered on Christ and who reads Philippians 1 in verse 21 and doesn't think it's a strange thing to read. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A contagious Christian realizes that nothing gives more joy than what Christ gives me. A contagious Christian is one who looks for guidance from the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. It's contagious because people are going to see that. They will see what guides you. They will see what controls you. They'll see what pushes your buttons or what does not push your buttons. Or they will see how you are programmed by the Word of God, that you respond rather than react. A person who is a contagious Christian is thus led by the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. How can we expect our Christianity to be contagious if we are not led by the Spirit? Study His Word, the sword of the Spirit, and let Him influence your life. And a contagious Christian is one who analyzes life by the promises of God. Matthew 6 and verse 33 promises that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said, all these things will be added to you. Look, folks, having the mind of Christ, which is something Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 5, that's contagious. I appreciate the words of a preacher acquaintance, Nathan Franson, down in Florida. And he wrote these words, rather than plagiarize, I'll tell you that he wrote these. And I appreciate them enough to share with you. He said, Christ never had contempt. He never tried to get in the last word. He never spoke ill to those who disregarded or disagreed with what He had to say. He never gossiped or schemed behind anyone's back. He was passionate toward principles, but He was compassionate toward people. And then Nathan reminds us, imagine what good would come from considering if we are being like Christ. Before we say something, or before we post something on the internet or some other venue. Now let's apply this and wrap up our lesson. How do we become contagious Christians? Remember the three ways germs are spread? Airborne, direct contact, and the things that you leave behind. Airborne. What kind of atmosphere do you create? I know some Christians who, in the name of being right, have created a very toxic atmosphere. I don't mean here. I don't mean now. I don't even mean around here. So don't worry. But we need to create the kind of atmosphere with our attitude. If you're at work, your attitude will spread, for good or bad, but for good if you smile. Smile a lot. Mean it when you smile. Smile with your eyes. That's how you know you're really smiling. You need to smile up here too. Be proactive with your work. Don't complain about your job. Don't complain about your boss. Don't complain about the company. Don't look so unhappy at work. Another one of my coworkers, I'll say, how are you doing today? And he'll say, "And we're having a great day here. Yes, we're doing great." And I don't know how serious he is, but I do appreciate hearing that. So if he's going to encourage me to have a great day, I'm going to be reminded of that. Try to help your coworkers. And when they do well, would you pass on compliments to them? Don't hold them back because you think, well, they'll just get the big head. Besides, I need more compliments than they do. Well, that's the way the world acts. But you're a Christian. You're a child of God. Pass on those compliments and show that you truly care about the work. The words that you speak, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Well, that's airborne. Number two, direct contact. What kind of contact do you have with people? Do you touch them? Touch them as in handshake? And don't worry, I mean it in a good way right now, so I'm gonna put away that Kleenex box. I mean a pat on the shoulder, gentle. Watch out for those that have had surgeries, by the way. A gentle hug. Oh, just affirming people. How do you literally touch them? Are you present with them? And that's one reason why it's so important for us to assemble with the saints. Barring sickness or some other extenuating circumstances, we need to be together. We need that touch. We need that presence. People need to see that. When you're around other people, when you exhort them, when you edify them, when you encourage them, there are several things that you show them. You show them a hunger and thirst for God's word. That's contagious. You show them that unity is desirable. That desire for unity, that's also contagious. The psalmists talk about that, how good and pleasant that is. Psalm 133, verse 1. And then I want you to know the love of Christ is contagious. Do you know how many gruff-looking, mean, tough people, self-sufficient people out there there are? That are going to try to give you the impression that they don't need anything from you or anyone. When in fact, they so desperately need the love of Christ. The love of Jesus. 1 John 4 and verse 19. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. That's contagious. And then we spread that. And then finally, that indirect contact, you know, the doorknob thing. Well, what will you leave behind? You know, figuratively speaking. How will you be known? You know, the book of Proverbs says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Proverbs 13, 22. What kind of legacy will you leave? When there are people that are left to try to say something good, will you make it easy for them? Will it become natural for them when they're trying to figure out your obituary and your eulogy? Will you be known for your love of God, your love of people and souls, and your desire to go to heaven and for everyone to know the good news? Being a contagious Christian, spread the word. It's what will give hope, the hope of Christ Jesus. This morning, we hope the lesson is encouraging to you. We hope it's helpful. If it's been convicting to you, I hope that we will make those changes so that we'll be more determined, that we'll not isolate ourselves, but help other people to know God's truth and the way of Christ. If you're not a Christian, Jesus proved His love for us through His death, His burial, and even His resurrection, as He is now on the right hand of God, ready to intercede. If you're not a Christian, if you will obey Christ by dying to self, changing that attitude, coming to Him, having your sins washed away in His blood, through the act of baptism, and then living the Christian life. That's the challenge that we all must face, even if we obeyed the gospel. We need to continue to walk in His light. If you're subject to the invitation of the Master, please come as together we stand and as we sing.